turn with me to Ephesians 5. If you have a Bible, or turn your smartphone, or the words will be on the screen. Ephesians 5, starting at verse 15. Hear the word of the Lord. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So last week, Christopher started us off with a brand new sermon series called Blessed to Be a Blessing. We all want to make a lasting impact in our lives, in our family's lives, in our own personal goals, in the world, and God has blessed us with certain things to make that impact. And it's kind of our responsibility and our joy to be good stewards of what God has given us. Last week, Christopher talked about our spiritual gifts that the Bible gives us and tells us that we have. This week, we're going to talk about time management, and next week is going to be money. Today is time. We are blessed with time, and now we are called to use our time to be a blessing to others. And let me start with a question. How are you and time doing? Now think about time. It's happening right now. Seconds are passing. It's here, and then it just disappears. Tick tock. How do you feel about time? Are you anxious? You're thinking, oh man, this preacher's going long. He's taking so long. Come on, keep going. I got so much stuff to do today. I don't know what to do. Or are you bored with time? You got a lot of it. You don't know what to do with it all. Like, I just got to probably watch that Netflix show I've been meaning to watch. Or are you experiencing a time is just flying out the window? It's just going faster than you can hold on to it. And you look back and it's been 20 years and you're like, where has the time gone? Or are you that rare person which says, wow, time is great. I love time. I just feel it's the right time for me. How are you and time doing? Time is our most precious commodity, because we have a limited supply of it. In economic terms, we have a high demand and a fixed limited supply. Time is time. We can't just make new time. It's just time. And I say that we have a high demand because we are a very, very busy society. So many things of the world are vying for your time. Work, paying off the bills and debt, family, children, groceries, laundry, community events, ministries of justice and mercy, little projects at home you haven't got around to yet, that show you just have to binge watch on Netflix, church even, and if you've been here more than once, Pastor Victor is probably bugging you for your time. And the busyness of our culture is almost like a badge of honor. Whenever we ask, you know, how are you doing today, man? I'm busy. And we kind of, yeah, I'm doing right. I'm busy. In the middle of the last century, there was a prediction that by this generation, people would be working about 3 hours a day. Through technology, through economic progress, we would live in a society where we don't need to work anymore. The reality is, the opposite has happened. We've gotten busier. Technology, which is supposed to make us less busy, often makes us even busier. Some people who work sometimes have a phone so they can be more effective and, you know, make sure things are going well. And it's supposed to be when you work, and you come home, but now that you have a phone, every buzz, every ding-a-ling, you are tempted to steal time from home back into work or play Candy Crush or other apps like that. It is a temptation, and time is, if it's gone, gone. Another reason time is so valuable is that it does not have a good exchange rate. And here's what I mean by that. You can't convert random segments of time into good quality time, into quality time for especially important stuff. When you have a final exam or maybe a final paper due in school, some people, like I did a lot, we crammed for the test or pulled an all-nighter to get the paper done. Anybody done that before? Okay, right on. And sometimes it worked, miraculously. Thank you, Lord. You actually got a good mark. You actually did really well. Some stuff it works for, but the most important stuff, it does not work. For example, let's say you haven't read the Bible in a while. You haven't really worked a lot at your relationship with God, and maybe it's been like 3 months. Like, oh, I haven't read the Bible. Lord, tonight, I'm going to read the Bible all night, all the way through, because I love you. Don't do that, okay? Unless the Spirit's calling you and you got 3 cans of Red Bull, it's not going to make up for the lost time. Or if you haven't been to the gym in 3 months, it doesn't work if you're going to be like, okay, I haven't been to the gym, I feel kind of chubby. Tomorrow, 8 in the morning to 8 at night, just going to work out. Just going to go on the treadmill. Just going to, wait, I'm going to be swole. It doesn't work. Please, don't try it. Or if in your most important relationships, maybe your best friend or a spouse, you didn't hang out for over a month, and you're like, okay, let's cram. Some relationship works. Let's catch up for a coffee date. But your most important relationships, if you haven't hung out for a month, and you're like, oh, we haven't seen each other melt. Let's, for the whole day, let's just talk about life. And it will just go back to the way it was. It doesn't really work for the most important relationships and most important stuff. Andy Stanley says, important things and relationships need consistent investments of time over time. Important relationships and investments need consistent quality investment times over time. And you can't just cram it for the important stuff. And because time is limited and quality time is even more sparse, time is our most important possession. Paul, the writer of Ephesians, which we just read, encourages the audience to make the most of every opportunity. The Greek word here is actually kairos. And we'll come back to this a little more, but it's loosely translated time, and the ESV version or other versions, they translate the same phrase, make the most of every opportunity, as make the best use of time. And this literally means to exploit each moment of time to the fullest. Make the best use of time. Another way to put it is to redeem time. Anybody here collect any loyalty cards or credit cards that gives you points over time? Anybody? Okay. Gotta be most people, I think. And once you get enough points, you can redeem the points to get free drink, free groceries, or a trip to Bahamas maybe, depends on what you're doing. But same image is kind of what God's using. God wants us to fully redeem each moment, to redeem each, use up all the possible points, or in this case, all the possible seconds, so we can reap the full benefits of time that God has given us, so that we could be a blessing to others. So how can we fully redeem time? Get the best bang for our buck? Well, this is what I want you to know today. Say yes to the best and no to the rest. And repeat after me. Yes to the best and no to the rest. And what I'm going to do today is just go through each of those. Yes to the best, no to the rest, and then end with the fact that Jesus is best. First one, yes to the best. In junior high, this was my typical Saturday afternoon. I'd wake up lazily around maybe 11 in the morning, watch some Saturday morning cartoons, eat some food, help my mom for maybe 15 minutes washing the dishes. Then I'd play video games for about 4 to 5 hours. The biggest one then was Halo. That was the biggest thing. Or Legend of Zelda. I had a 64 at the time. Anyway. And then I would eat some more food, and then I'd go out with some friends late, maybe 3 or 4 in the morning, then wake up early, go to church, of course. Now, I was not saying yes to the best. My yeses were less than best. And less than best is excess. Less than best is after our precious time. Let me come back to that. Paul says, make the most of every opportunity or make the best use of time because the days are evil. Now that seems like a strong word, doesn't it? Evil. If you ask an average Canadian Christian if the days are evil, they might respond, yeah, probably. We see evil in the news, but we live comfortably now in this nation where it's generally safe to be a Christian. If you ask the same question to a Christian who is persecuted for her faith in another country, her response would be, yes, the days are evil. And that's who Paul is really talking to here. He himself is in a prison while writing this letter. He's prisoned in the Empire of Rome, which would eventually kill him for his faith. The world is filled with pain and misery, those who say yes to God revealed in Jesus Christ. And that's a good reminder for us in the West. Although it may seem that evil is only far off in distant lands, in reality, the days are evil. And one shocking example or reminder was the Manchester attacks, if you heard about those. And heard one girl on the radio, the biggest concern for her was that she couldn't believe that in UK, in this wonderful, safe nation, this would happen. But around the world, this is happening all the time. The days are evil. And evil is all that's opposed to the work of God, which leads to pain and misery. And the word evil actually means pain or misery. Pain or misery, especially in this context, for your faith in God. Now, if time is our most precious commodity, then the evil of this world has its eye specifically on this precious gift. Evil wants your time, and one of the ways it tries to get your time is try convincing you to invest things which are less than best. Now, when I said I went out to hang out with my friends in junior high, I was actually going out drinking and partying and doing not the best things. But making sure, you know, Sunday morning rolled around, I looked the part. Now, I'm not saying that alcohol is evil, but the way I was using it at a young age was part of this evil day. And the key was excess, too much of a good thing. Less than best is excess. And this is what Paul's kind of getting at here. He says, kind of randomly, do not get drunk on wine. Seems kind of random for Paul to say that, but when he talks about drinking, he's actually using drunkenness as a metaphor for the people who are trapped by evil. Throughout this book, Paul contrasts good from evil using images of light and dark, wisdom and foolishness, and now a life of drunkenness versus a life of the Spirit of God. Paul warns that a life trapped by darkness and foolishness turns out filled with misery, with pain, and he says it leads to debauchery. Now, debauchery translates actually excess, or as another person translates, riots. Now, when I think of this, I think, imagine if the Oilers made it to the Stanley Cup Finals, Game 7 at home, and they lost. Riots. It would be intense. And that's kind of like the picture that Paul is giving. It leads to excessive, crazy behavior. My dad was an alcoholic. He's not anymore by the grace of God when he met Christ. But he told me a lot of stories. When he was drinking, he just went berserk. He didn't even remember what was going on. It just went to worse things. The picture of the riots in Vancouver when they almost made it, it'd be way worse than Edmonton. I'd tell you that right now. That's the imagery Paul is using here. Now, one way that the evil day tries to get your time is to have you commit to a whole bunch of time to one thing. That's, you know, binge watching TV or binge drinking. Unfortunately, in Canada, we drink more, 50% more than the national average. Canadians, we drink a lot of alcohol. But the main way I'd say that the evil tries to get your time is to try to get you, get your time, invest your time in small, harmless things, in suggestions just here and there. Instead of investing small amounts of time in important things over time, evil wants to invest your time in small things which are less than best. This is a slide of some of the things that we invest our time in. If you're ever on your favorite movie streaming site, after you finish an episode of your show, what happens? It typically says, in 15 seconds, the next show will start. Plus, there's five other different shows which you will just love. Invest your time. Invest your time in me. The average Canadian spends 30 hours a week or 4 hours a day on TV. Thankfully, that's a little bit less than our brothers to the south, America. That's about 7 years or 8 months of your life on TV. That's the average Canadian. And Canadians spend 36.3 hours on the internet a week, which is actually the highest in the world. US is 35.35, and Britain is 33 hours. Less than best is excess. It leads to riots or hurting of your relationship. Paul encourages the church and us to resist evil and make the best investments of our time. When we don't, we become like alcoholics. Using Paul's metaphor, we get addicted, we become ineffective in our commitments, and we hurt ourselves and others. And our time on earth here is stolen from us. Let me give you one more example. On average, a person will use 5 years and 4 months of their life on social media. A new study in the UK looking at social media found that it's very hard on your mental health. It tends to increase anxiety and feelings of inadequacy, especially Instagram and Snapchat, since they use pictures, they make us feel like we are not good enough. We don't have the best stuff, the best grades, the thinnest body, the most beautiful boyfriend or girlfriend. And evil takes advantage of those feelings of inadequacy and urges us to invest in what others have, invest our time in getting what they have on those beautiful pictures. So we work too much to make enough money for that car or the house, or we exercise too much to look a certain way, or we drink too much to have a thriving social life, and time is taken from us. Less than best is excess. And Paul tells us, say yes to the best. TV shows are good. Hockey's a good thing. Social media, cars looking beautiful, these are good things, but invest in the best things. Don't invest a large quantity of time into things less than best, but a few minutes here and there, don't be careful. Be careful how you walk and how you invest your time. One problem is we don't really know how much time we actually invest in little things. And I'll hit you with one application. One thing that I encourage you all to do is a time inventory. Anybody done a time inventory before? No? Okay. It's basically, for 2 weeks, you record every hour of the day what you did. Today I brushed my teeth at 3 in the morning. 7 in the morning, I woke up. 8 in the morning, I ate breakfast. 9 in the morning, I watched a little bit of show. 2 weeks, praying every day about it. See where every hour you use, just to see what you're actually investing your time in. After that, ask God, what am I saying yes to? Is it the best? Paul gives us two principles to help us decide which is the best. Say yes to things which submit to your neighbor, and yes to things which submit to God. In verse 21 of chapter 5, it says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And after you've done this time inventory, or at least just think about where you invest your time, ask yourself, does this activity submit and serve others? Does it bless others? Does it invest in healthy relationships? Then ask yourself, do these activities submit to God? Do they deepen my relationship with him? And if Jesus was sitting right next to me while I was doing it, would he be pleased with me? Say yes to the best and no to the rest. Second one is no to the rest. This is my typical Saturday in university. I wake up 6 in the morning, do some devotion time, do a little bit of homework for about an hour, and then I have soccer practice for about 2.5 hours, have a little bit of lunch. I was working at the university at King's where I went to as a ministry coordinator, which helps people with their spiritual walk. So I'd spend about 3 hours working and hanging out with them. Then I'd do a little more studying for maybe an hour or so, and then I'd lead a Bible study for a church I was a part of. And then I'd come back to my apartment, and I was part of the prison ministry team. I was leading it, so I have to organize things for the next prison ministry. Then I'd cook some food. Then I'd do a little more homework, and then I'd go to work a night shift at the Mustard Seed. Then I'd wake up in the morning and go to church. Now, I was saying yes to the best. These are all good things, but not no to the rest. There are people among us who can't say no. Are you one of those people? I am. I definitely am. No to the rest is wisdom. Paul tells us not to be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Just because something is good doesn't mean that you are called to do it. Just because a thing is good doesn't mean it's your good. A great missional leader, Robert Lupton, said, "A need does not constitute a calling. Just because there is a need doesn't mean you're supposed to deal with it. You are supposed to go where God tells you, his will. And foolishness is doing the rest. No to the rest is wisdom." And this requires an attitude of Sabbath, an attitude of worship and thankfulness. Sabbath is a biblical term meaning rest. And not a lazy rest all the time, but an active, trusting rest, where we come together and praise God, trust in him, just hang out. And this is described in verses 19 to 20, which I love these verses. "Be filled with the Spirit," verse 19, "speaking to another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord." This is the attitude of praising and worshiping God. For Protestant Christians, Sunday is supposed to be our day of rest, in which we give up our working to praise and thank God for who he is and what he has done. The time we confess that we can't do it on our own. We can't meet our own needs or the needs of others. Sacred time we confess that our life is in God's hands, not our own. It's he who puts food on our table, who provides our needs, who fills our bank accounts. It's he who gives the poor their daily bread. The time we could proclaim that God knows exactly what's going on in this crazy world, and we will trust him, and not our own ideas or schemes or efforts to make things right. When I had trouble saying no to the rest, it's because I wasn't listening to God's voice. I thought I was following God. I thought I was doing what God wanted to do. All things I was doing was in line with Scripture. They were good, good things. But in reality, I was opposing him. I was part of the evil day. And after I finally froze for at least half an hour and actually came to God and saying, "What is going on?" after I burned out, told me that I had bought into the lie of the evil day, that I had to please God by my effort, that I had to do it all by myself. It was also my way of making up for all the bad things I'd done as a teenager, thinking maybe if I worked for God lots, more than I sinned, maybe he would accept me. That is not who God is. That is not his will or the gospel. No to the rest is wisdom. Just because a thing is good doesn't mean that it's your good. Wisdom is not trying to manage our own time by a guidebook or trying to use all the most effective methods to manage our time to please God. It's living in constant relationship with the Father through the Holy Spirit, He will tell you when to say yes and when to say no. And it's about us submitting to the Spirit when He says go and when He says stay. Submit to God and He will guide your time. Let me give you another application. I encourage you all to practice Sabbath. Since I got this job at Mosaic House, our East Campus, I really had to carve out a time of Sabbath. I'm working still 32 hours a week at the Masjid, and now 15 hours here, so I had to say no to a lot of stuff. I was doing a lot of community work in my neighborhood. I was a coach for a U10 or U8 soccer team. We're called the Park Allen Pancakes. They were amazing. They're the best team in the world. I had to say no. I can't do that, even though it's good. I had to say no to doing community events, stuff at my work. I had to say no. And then I had to carve out a Sabbath where I said, no work, no masjid, no this. I can listen to God's voice. That's so key. I encourage you to practice Sabbath. Carve out a whole day or carve out things during the week where you just focus on listening on God, listening to His voice. This will help you to trust God, to stop working to either please Him or to make you feel good about yourself. It will also deepen your relationship to Him. You know, He loves you. Don't be working so hard. And also helps you to say no. When you trust God, you're able to say no. I need a lot of accountability. When you practice and carve out Sabbath, ask people to keep you accountable. Ask people to say, check in with me if I'm actually taking a day off. My wife does a great job at that, by the way. So find someone in your life. Say yes to the best and no to the rest. And the final part is this. Jesus is best. This is pretty cool. I really like this. There are two words for time in Greek. There is chronos, which where we get the word chronological. It's a linear time, a clock. Tick-tock. And then there is the word Paul uses, which is kairos in this scripture, which loosely translates the right time or the fullness of time. And it's when time seems to defy linear chronology. That is, time seems faster, tick-tock, or time slows down or even freezes. Tick-tock. Have you ever had a conversation with a friend which felt only like a few minutes, but actually was a few hours? Or have you ever had an experience where you seemed like time just stood still? Maybe on your wedding day, or when your first child just started to walk, or maybe when you got that job, or you just met that perfect friend, you just didn't, came out of nowhere. The time when almost like it froze and went slower, like the clock didn't matter anymore. And this is the word Paul uses for this text because that's how God relates to time. God is outside of time. He's not restricted by chronos or tick-tock. He's able to see the past, present, and future at the same time. 2 Peter 3:8 says, "Do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day." It doesn't matter to God. 1,000 years a day, it's all manageable for God. John Calvin said that God watches the past, present, and future like three rivers which swirl into each other. And God steps into time. He dips His hand into these rivers to give us joy or opportunity to be a blessing to others. Kairos. And He urges us to make the most of these times that He gives us. One example that happened recently is I've been trying to start a soccer program at Mosaic House East for the community because I love soccer. And also, Abraham here is going to hopefully start one up here too. So eventually, we'll have challenge friendly matches, East versus South on a soccer game. That'd be awesome. We're going to win, by the way, so you know, don't even think about it. And we'll pray. I know. There's a lot of good players here. We're going to pray to God, though. That's how. No. And I was praying to God, like, how do I start this? I think this is what you want me to do, the blessing community. I love soccer. And I was praying and seeing what I want to do. And I went to the local coffee shop in the Ottawa neighborhood called Anvil. And one of the best ways to meet neighbors or to be a blessing is actually go to a local coffee shop. That's where you really meet people. And I was sitting there in the back doing some work. And two ladies were sitting in front of me. And I said, quite smiled to them. And all of a sudden, they're talking all about soccer. Every third word was soccer. Soccer, soccer. I'm like, oh my goodness. This is a Kairos time. This is time when God's giving me an opportunity. And like, what do I do? And I awkwardly said, hi, so you like soccer, eh? And it was really awkward. But through that conversation, one of the ladies was the main contact person in Otwell for all the soccer programs. And through that conversation, because by God's grace, I made the most of it, they're now promoting all our soccer events as well as all our community events in Otwell through the community league. That is just one example of God breaking into time and giving you that perfect, right, full moment. And the most important Kairos, the best of all times, is Jesus. In God, through God, in Jesus, God himself stepped into our time. He broke in, disrupted, and redeemed time. The cross was a Kairos moment. In Romans 5, 6, it says, you see, at just the right time, at Kairos, when we were still powerless and helpless, Christ died for the ungodly. Jesus came at the right time to redeem all creation, including time. We were helpless. We were powerless. This sermon is not just about how to better manage our time to improve our life. No matter how many times we assess ourselves, No matter how many times or how many books we read on time management or how many accountability partners we have, we will never make the most of our time. We are helpless. That's why Jesus came to redeem time. Because of our sin and our participation in the enslavement of the evil day, we were separated from God. We were cursed to live a set number of years on earth and then no more. Tick-tock was a curse which reminded us of the futility of and our inability to redeem or prolong time. Our clock stopped, and then it ends. But then, Jesus entered into our time. He battled against the power of the evil day, and then at the right time, he was killed by evil. Clock off like everybody else. But God is not bound by Kronos time. 3 days later, a Kairos moment happened. Jesus' broken clock started to tick. Jesus rose from the dead and defeated the curse of time. And now through Jesus, we can now live in Kairos time. Not afraid of time slipping away, because Jesus is alive and outside of time. God in Christ is not worried about time. 1,000 years a day, it's all the same to him. And through him, through Jesus' resurrection, we now can have eternal life. In a kingdom with no end, we can now live forever in paradise, in heaven. Clocks will never stop. But even now here, we are given Kairos moments. Times when heaven and eternity come to us. And through the Holy Spirit who lives in us, we can be a part of those moments. Even when we think we are busy beyond relief, God, the master of time, can give us even more time at the right time. God, who is outside of time and now lives with us by the Holy Spirit, can even redeem the time we have wasted if things are less than best. Submit to him. He will guide you as you live in him. Say yes to the best and no to the rest. And Jesus. I just want to end with applications. I encourage you, if you have any questions, please send them in on the text line. We'll deal with those a little bit later. First application is yes to the best. Time is our most precious commodity, so try a time inventory if you can. And after you have seen all things you use your time in, ask, does it bless and submit to our neighbors? And does it bless and submit to God? And then work at getting rid of the excess. Because less than best is excess. Watch TV, yes, good. Use social media, yes, good. But don't go overboard. Try your best to live below the national average, all right? So 4 hours a day. If you're less than that, it's a good start, okay? Second, no to the rest. After you decided where you want to invest your time, ask God what He wants you to do, what His will is. No to the rest is wisdom. Just because a thing is a good doesn't mean it's your good. Submit to God and keep in tune with the Spirit and practice Sabbath. Practice that time where you hear and know His voice when He tells you to say yes, when He tells you to say no. And finally, Jesus is best. The evil day says that it knows what's best for you. What the best things in life that will make you happy. YOLO, you only live once, so do what makes you happy. Drinking will make you happy and fill you with a lot of friends. And a confusing part is there are some real benefits to what the world offers. One of my favorite things to do is karaoke. Anybody like karaoke here? Sometimes, yeah. One of the best places are, you know, bars. And I go to a bar. I don't drink anymore by God's grace. But I love to just sing and have a good time. And always notice, there's always people who are like, you want to sing, man? No, I don't want to sing. I'm not going to sing. Never. And they're like shy and like, you know, I'm making eye contact with you. And then they drink some. And then their smile gets bigger. And then they're getting loose and they're like talking to you and they're a social animal and they get on the stage and they hit a huge Bon Jovi song out of the park and everyone's screaming. There are some benefits to what the world offers you. I mentioned earlier that Paul contrasts good from evil through metaphors. In this text, Paul is comparing getting drunk with the life of the Spirit. Getting drunk has some benefits, like I said. Confidence, improves your singing voice. Well, not really, but it helps you relate to others more freely. But these benefits are only counterfeits or knockoffs or fake things compared to the real and best thing, which is Jesus. When the followers of Jesus were first filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts 2, under the influence of the Spirit, if you want to say it like that, the people who saw them actually thought they were drunk. 10 in the morning. They're like, these guys are drunks. What are they doing? They're going crazy. And in a sense, they were. They were intoxicated with the Spirit of God who lives in Kairos time. And when you are filled with the Spirit, you have the best karaoke parties ever. You sing and praise God. Amen. You sing and praise God with all your heart. I love, this is what Paul is saying here. Be filled with the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. When you're filled with the Spirit, what we experience at a karaoke bar is only a tiny bit of the real karaoke party, heaven on earth. The best high you will ever get is the Spirit of God, His presence. Jesus is the best. All the world has to offer does not compare to the power of God's Spirit who lives in those who call on the name of Jesus. Invest your time, invest yourself in Him, His Spirit, your neighbor's creation, not the world's products. Say yes to the best and no to the rest. We can't do this on our own. We can't fully redeem time and utilize it on our own. God of Kairos time holds every second in His hand. Trust in Him, submit to Him and His wisdom. Come. He says, come to me, all who are weary, all who are bored, all who are busy beyond relief and belief, and I will give you rest. I will give you Jesus is best. And right now we're going to respond by the questions that you have about the sermon today. Now I'm not an expert, I don't know anything, but I'll do my best to answer it the best of by ability and by God's grace and by God's Spirit. Before we get to ones by text, anybody on the floor have a question? Peter asks, how do we balance committed responsibilities and God's calling? In my own life, I have a lot of conflict between what I thought God's calling was and by what my responsibilities were. One instance was I always really wanted to serve the poor. And one of my thought the most effective way to do that was to live in the inner city, to become homeless, actually. I thought that was my calling. Then I got married. I'm like, okay, how do I balance this calling now? Okay. And that was really tough for me. And what I had to do personally was I was really busy, and I was trying to reach my problem personally. I wasn't taking time to hear God's voice. And sometimes we think we know what God's calling is because it's scriptural, because we think this is what I felt in my life, and you think that's what it is, then how does this fit with that? By listening to God's voice, and that took me a long time, I saw that my calling wasn't wrong, or the committed relationship wasn't what it was supposed to be, but the actually two can go together. And that means I had to give up some expectations of the calling. I had to change the calling. So I couldn't live in the inner city homeless, but I could still work there. I could still be part of that community. And it also helped to transform and to change the expectation of the committed relationship. It actually became stronger in the end so that I could be honest with myself. And so my experience is come to God in Sabbath and prayer to see what your calling of God actually is in the committed relationship. And if it involves another person, dialogue and come and pray continually about that. And I believe God will make a way, and it will take sacrifice. It will take compromise. It won't be perfect because we're not in a perfect world yet, but God will be with you. I'm not saying you, Peter. I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry, but thank you. But he will be with you. I'm sorry. He will be with you. But I'm not directing that question to your situation. Thank you. Another great question that came up was, you mentioned about having too much to do. What about the opposite? When you feel like doing nothing, like not even spending time with God. First, thank you for your honesty. And this is really telling. It's actually very common because, as Paul says, the days are evil. We might not be having some secret service breathing in our back because we are Christians, but the new warfare of the evil day is to slowly sedate us. That is, make us lethargic, make us lazy, or just going through the flow of this multimedia universe we live in. And it is very hard not to get caught up in it. When I'm always busy all the time, so I don't struggle with this as much. But when I was in junior high, I really, really did. And I encourage you, practice Sabbath. I know it's hard. I know it's you don't feel like it. But sometimes C.S. Lewis says, practicing leads to the presence. And I don't know exactly what he said, but sometimes when you go through the motions and you say, you know what, I don't feel like worshiping right now, but I want to worship God. I don't feel like raising my hands, but I don't feel worthy, but I'm going to do it anyway. Something about that action inspires that, and the word of God works in you through that. Even if you don't feel like it, practice it. Believing that God will step in, but it's hard to do it alone. I encourage whoever's struggling with this, become part of a house church or a smaller group, help you, and also start saying yes to things. Even though it might be you don't feel like it, start saying yes to things. That is, we need a lot of work in the church. Well, if you're gifted in certain things, say yes to whatever opportunity God gives you, and as you say yes to the best, God will inspire you. You'll see God working through you to touch lives, to people appreciate what you're doing, and that will, through the Holy Spirit, help you to feel alive again. What's interesting about this verse, the one right before it says, awake, O sleeper, and Christ will shine on you. Right before it says, be careful how you live, it says, awake, O sleeper, Christ will shine on you. And we live in a very sedated culture where we kind of sit back and get, oh, God wants to shine on you. So reach out to others and start saying yes to things. Even if you might not be good at it, just be a willing heart. And it won't be perfect, but the Holy Spirit will be with you. Thank you for those fantastic questions. Wow. I praise God for a wonderful thinking community. Oh, yeah, Bill. Time inventory is, Bill asks, is the time inventory related to chronos or kairos? It's both. You first look at chronos, where you actually look at your time. But, you know, when you play video games, I'll do about half an hour, right? You play it, and you 4 hours later, wow, what happened? That's kairos too in a negative way. So sometimes when you think, I don't go to coffee that often. I don't watch TV that often. It's because that kairos can be seen in a negative way is sucking up time. You don't even notice the clock. So it's a bull. Great question. Awesome. Thank you so much, everybody. Let's pray together. Lord God of kairos time, thank you for entering into our time to make our clock stop. And to make our clocks unending in you, Jesus. Help us to say yes to the best, to look at our lives and to see where you have called us to be, and to say no to the rest. To be fully in submission to you, to be blessing to you in your name, and to be blessing to others. Forgive us for times that we have been too busy, times that we have wasted the precious gift you've given us. Thank you that you are a gracious and loving God who came to earth for us because you loved us, because you know us. Help us to spare time for you alone. We can come together in prayer and worship to hear your voice. Please, Lord, speak to us. Tell us when it's a yes, and when it's a no. We trust in your unfailing love. We trust in your presence and Holy Spirit here. You are great. You are mighty. You are the God who controls time in his hand, and we trust you. We praise your name. We sing songs to you now, for you are good and worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.